Well, to all of God's people here, it is a wonderful thing to be with you this morning and to have those that are going to be serving as our leaders in the year to come also be serving us, because Holy Scripture does indeed admonish us that all things should be done decently and in good order. And to that end, the Constitution and bylaws of our congregation establish various offices to which men and women are elected and appointed to serve. In so doing, the church follows the examples of the early Christian church. The Apostle Peter writes in his first epistle, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another, as good stewards of God's very grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks the very words of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." You have been chosen to fill specific offices and responsibilities here at Faith Lutheran Church to work with the ministry of word and sacrament, that our lives together here in Christ will be orderly and pleasing in his sight. You are to see that the services of God's house are held at proper times, that the word of God is purely preached and taught according to the Lutheran confessions, that the sacraments of Christ are administered according to his institution, that provision is made for the Christian instruction of young and old, that the erring are admonished, that discipline is maintained. You are to see that the temporal affairs of the congregation are properly administered, and that proper support is provided for the workers of this congregation. And you are to assist in caring for the poor, for the sick, in cultivating harmony among the members, in promoting the general welfare of our congregation, and in furthering the kingdom of Christ here and throughout the world. While holiness of life and obedience to Christ would be expected of all the members of our congregation, it is especially important that each of you, as office bearers in his church, show yourselves by word and example to be faithful to him in service and Christian devotion. And so, in the presence of God and of the members of the congregation, I therefore ask you, do you accept the offices entrusted to you? Do you promise faithfully to carry out your duties, to trust in the Lord, to conform yourself to his word in accordance with the faith of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, and to strive for excellence in all that you do? If so, answer, I will, with the help of God. Beloved in the Lord, friends, you have just heard the promises of faithfulness spoken by these men and women who have been selected to serve as officers here at Faith. Do you promise to support them in their work, to remember them in your prayers, to work with them to the best of the abilities that God has given you so that he may be glorified and his work be done in our midst? If so, answer, we will, with the help of God. Friends, I therefore extend to you the right hand of fellowship, offering to you God's richest blessings as we begin service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you have raised up these servants for work among your people. We humbly implore you to grant them by your Holy Spirit all the gifts that they need, that they may faithfully carry out their task. Grant them wisdom, strength, willing hearts, and let your blessing rest on here in this congregation. Strengthen the faith, quicken the love, enkindle the zeal of all of its people, that your name may be glorified, and that here and in all places under heaven, the kingdom of your Son may be advanced. We remember with thanksgiving those who have faithfully served your people and, at least for the time being, have now completed their time of service, including our outgoing chairman, Mike Metzel. We pray that in the end of days, we, with all your faithful people, may hear the voice of Christ saying, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen." And so then, while we've had a good cross-section of our officers at all three of our services, to join us this morning is our director of our human care ministry, Sandy Leanouts, who continues, and then also the new director of finance, Sue Leader, who we're grateful that she has taken on that mantle. And then continuing on as our treasurer is going to be John Schaffer, and then I mentioned that Mike Metzel is on his way out, the new chairperson of Faith Lutheran Church, Roseanne Verheyen. So remember these people in your prayers, and We pray that the Lord God is going to give us a truly blessed year. And for that, my friends, go in the name of the Lord, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, remembering that in the Lord your labors are never in vain. And may the Almighty and most merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless and preserve you. Amen. You can return to your seats. Thank you very much. So now to give us just a couple of minutes to transition into our confirmation service, we're going to hear our final prelude, and then we're going to be beginning, and the service is going to begin. I'm going to have everybody stand, and face to back, you will be able to use the screen that's on the back for the various responses at the beginning of our service. Thank you again for being a part of our day today. Will you please stand as you are able and face to back? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your righteousness extends to the highest of mountains. Your justice to the greatest depths of the seas. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. They feast on the abundance of your house. For with you is the fountain of life. Lord, continue your steadfast love to those who know you. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. You may turn and face the front as the cross passes you, but we'll remain standing as we sing. To all of God's people, to both our members and also a number of guests that I know are always going to be a part of Confirmation Sunday. Thank you for joining us for worship today. It's good to see all of you here. A couple of things that we have going on. Our confirmation class today is not a service of Holy Communion. It's going to be too much in one day. So their first time at taking Holy Communion will be next week, also at the 11 o'clock service. And for the members of the families, please take note of that. And then also just remember, in the midst of God's people here, in 2 weeks, both on the Saturday and on the Sunday, Saturday it'll be 1 to 3, Sunday it'll be 2 to 4, we're going to be taking what's called prayer walks, and we're just going to be walking through our community and over in Sims Park. Our job is not to be asking a lot of questions except to find out what kinds of things that God's people need to have that we can pray for them. And what I'm going to be doing here in the next week is by next Sunday, we're going to have some sample prayers that we're going to be putting into the announcements page, and you can see how simple this is. One of the best things we can do for God's people is whenever we see somebody and there's a need there, we're going to take a moment and pray for them. It's one of the best things we can do. So a little different than what we've done in years past, but again, 2 weeks, 1 to 3 on the Saturday, and then 2 to 4 on the Sunday. We hope you can join us for that. This coming Wednesday night, I get questions this all the time about what the process is, and I'm going to be setting a new member Sunday a little bit later on in the summer for those that are curious. But in the meantime, we've got a special information class, and it's not really designed to be, you know, just a full classroom type thing. We need to get to know one another. We're also going to be spending time learning about some of the things that we are and do here at Faith Lutheran Church. And in fact, for the officers, you might want to note that there may be a night where I'm going to ask you to be one of the guests. Now, for those of you who are members, you have a neighbor, you have a good friend, somebody that just might be interested, bring them Wednesday night, and you come along with. It'll make them feel a lot better, and it's just something in which we can start the walk of faith here at Faith together. We're in a tiny little window here where for our next cruise, we're going to be cruising next in February of next year. There are some brochures in the back, and person can call me if they need to, because and all the information, though, should be on the brochure that you need. But we're running into our first deadline, which is tomorrow. And there certainly is going to be space after that, but we're kind of locked into a preferred spot between now and tomorrow. So if you indeed would like to join us for our next cruise for 2018, again, all the details are on that little brochure. please let me know. And just so you'll know, we're already planning one for spring break of 2019. For all of God's people that, again, both members and guests, in racks in front of you are these Faith Fellowship cards. We're going to ask you to fill those out. Let us know that you were here, and if you're a guest, tell us about yourself, just some information that we can have for our records. Finally, we want to remember God's people who we need to be praying for. I had mentioned last week Adele Burke, who had suffered a fall and had gone through surgery, and she's still at bayonet point. Things are not, things are going very slow on her front. So hopefully we'll get a better word on her real, real soon. And then Billy Bose, he usually, during our communion Sundays especially, is one of the people that's usually sitting over here to take communion. And unfortunately, he also suffered a fall, had surgery up at bayonet point, and his recuperation is continuing. He has been released to Bear Creek, which is up on 52. We'll remember God's people. Then just this morning, I've gotten word, because he was in worship last night, our member, I think most of us know him, Jerry Brock, has been taken to the hospital. He is at Trinity this morning. I have no further word. I know that he is at Trinity. Okay, we continue in our service then with the Easter acclamation and confession with absolution. And I think for this part of the service, we will just remain seated. Christ is risen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? As we will be hearing God's word today in the fellowship of this altar, let us confess our sins, confident of his grace, his mercy, and his forgiveness, beginning with a moment of silence. O Holy Spirit, we give thanks that the early church exemplified what it means to be the body of Christ and that many people come to faith through their witness. We must confess that we have not always been fully devoted to the study of the Word, to a faithful use of the sacraments, and to loving service to the people around us. Forgive us and renew us, right hearts, and willing spirits. Our gracious shepherd, we give thanks that you not only endured suffering and death for our sake, but also left us an example that we might follow in your steps. We must confess that we have avoided suffering for your name, have not always turned the other cheek when reviled, and have often strayed from your will. Forgive us and open our ears to hear your gracious call to return to you. Heavenly Father, we give thanks that your Son knows us each by name and that you have given us faith to hear his voice. He alone gives us protection. He alone offers us abundant life. We confess in all humility that often we have not listened to his voice. Too often we have feared the dangers of the world around us. Forgive us, strengthen our resolve, and restore to us the joy of your salvation. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, gave himself willingly into suffering and death to pay for all our sinning and straying. By his resurrection, he has restored to us eternal and abundant life. We shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Therefore, as a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I declare to you that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As it says on the screen, we continue now with the salutation and collect of the day. The Lord be with you. Let us pray this prayer together. Almighty God, merciful Father, since you have wakened from death, the shepherd of your sheep, grant us your Holy Spirit, that when we hear the voice of our shepherd, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Today's readings from the Holy Scripture are appointed for the fourth Sunday of Easter. The first lesson is from the book of Acts. The early church grows as they devote themselves to four critical pieces of faith. St. Luke writes, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is from 1 Peter. "You have been healed by your shepherd's wounds." The apostle writes, "For this is a gracious thing, when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But what if you do good and suffer for it, you endure? This is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets."
Please stand as a sign of resurrection hope. In our gospel lesson for this Sunday, which is also known as Good Shepherd Sunday, comes from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, beginning in the first verse. "The sheep know their shepherd's voice." Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the gospel of our Lord. Friends, what a blessed day this is. But most especially to three young people that kind of represents a sad moment for me. It always has. It's supposed to be a joyful time, and yet when you start getting used to spending as much time and growing as close, and my heart going out for each one of the students that you bring through confirmation, you come to a day like this and you're smiling, but there's a hint of sadness in me this morning as things are going to change quite a bit, but for the better for all three of them. And so for Brandon, for Will, for Autumn, God's grace and peace is always going to be with you. He is in you. He has called you by name. You belong to him. Stay with him. And then remember these words. If I could have the screen operator go to the next screen. There may not be many better texts for a confirmation class than these words. This happened on the day of Pentecost. The apostles had just been given the power of the Holy Spirit, even to speak new languages, languages they had never previously known. And they're telling people about Jesus, and that day 3,000 people were added to their midst. Just imagine, even forget 3,000, even what 300 people hearing the message that you guys have learned and that now you're going to take from your hearts and into the lives of others. And then they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. You know, it wasn't long after I was confirmed. And I had already started taking jobs. I'd already done a paper route with a bicycle. Nobody does that anymore. I had already started working for a farmer and all the different things that the farmers needed done. But it would have been about 2 years after I was confirmed, I started working in a steakhouse. My job was just nothing fancy. I served as a busboy. You know, you go in, you are actually the person after the hostess that greets the people and pour water for their glasses and make sure that everything is just so for them before the waitress arrives. And then when everything is done and the people have left, then you go in and you clean up the table and get the table ready for the next group of people. And I'll tell you what, there would be days and a lot of churches when I was doing that would have their confirmation on this Sunday, and then next Sunday was going to be Mother's Day. I got to level with you. I hated it. There was so much work to do. And I didn't even realize until later what was going on. But back at that time, of course, nobody thought much. I mean, you know, today they have all these smoke-free environments. I was always working in that steakhouse, an environment where there was tons of smoke. And I learned later that heavy smoke would actually, after a while, would start giving me a headache. Because that's what would happen. Every time I'd do my job there, I'd start getting this headache. And it's like, well, am I ever going to be able to find joy in my work? Well, those years I did the best I could. Then came something that happened this week. And I'll be honest with you guys. It was for our I Believe banquet the other night, we had fried chicken. It was good. We got it from Winn-Dixie over here in Massachusetts. And I got a chance to meet a young man. And I had gone around, I had gotten a good-sized grocery cart so I could grab over 200 pieces of chicken, and we had just put the order in on Wednesday. I was even a little bit worried as to how the staff there was going to receive it, because the lady that I work with that usually takes my orders is not usually the one, if it's going to be ready in the afternoon, who's going to be doing most of the work. And it turned out that the person that did most of the work was a young man. He didn't look much older than I was when I was working in a steakhouse, and when the place was full, I wasn't very happy about it. And so here he is getting one of the biggest orders without much out warning that he had gotten. And he heard that I was there to pick up the chicken. He dropped what he was doing. He came rushing out. He was so excited to see me. And he said to me, "I want to let you know, I'm the guy that fixed your chicken, and I had so much fun doing it." And he comes and he asked me, he said, "This is for a church, right?" I said, "Yes." And I started telling a couple of the staff members, him and a couple of others, the ladies that were bringing out the boxes of chicken, that what this was for, what this banquet Friday night represented, what this weekend was all about. And I said, "I've only got 3 students, but," I said, "you'll never meet 3 better young people, ever." Next thing he says is, he says, "Well, what are their names?" He said, "Maybe I know them." I said, "Well," gave me your names. And he said, "Well," he said, "I don't know them." But he said, "You're the pastor, right?" I said, "Yeah." And he said, "You're going to be praying a lot for these people this weekend. Can you spare an extra one for me?" Literally, "Can you spare an extra one for me?" And about where my heart was when I was younger. What a joy to know that there is someone who finds genuine excitement in what it is that they do, especially when it's on behalf of God's people. I've told a lot of stories at confirmation. I'm not so sure I've ever told a better one. You know, as you leave today, there are going to be those days when you're going to either walk into a place or walk out of a place. And from that moment forward, your life is going to be as different can be. One of the moments for me, I guess, was the last day I walked out of high school. Oh, we still had graduation that night. But I remember thinking how strange it was all those years, starting with kindergarten, and you're always going to school and the requirements and stuff like that, and it's just you go from one grade to the next to the next to the next, but the school year is always the same. And now all of a sudden, you don't have to do that anymore. Whatever you decide to do now is going to be your call. You have to choose. And, you know, when you get done with high school, what are you going to do? You're going to go to work? You're going to go to college? But the choices are yours. The wonderful thing about what is happening to us today was that many of the choices and the choices we could never make have already been made for you guys. Guess what? Brandon and Will and Autumn, you're child of God. Nothing that's going to happen in life is ever going to change that. No matter where you think he might be in your life, he's always going to be right there with you. With that in mind, from this day forward, what are you going to do? In a few moments here, the faith which was proclaimed for you, at least a couple of you when you were infants, you're going to now be taking, and it's going to be all yours. And it's not going to seem much different here in the first few months and stuff. You're still going to be at home, but it's not going to be that long. You're still going to be going to school, but you want to see the fastest 4 years of your life. And parents, for those of you, if this is your first confirmation student, I'm going to warn you. Starting today, the little clock that's on your wall or in your cell phone is going to start going a whole lot faster. Close your eyes and open them again, and they're going to be graduating from high school. And if they go to college, they're going to be graduating from college. And just that fast, they're going to be married and with children. And you're going to wonder where the time went. You're going to wonder how in the world we got to that day so quickly. Well, as we prepare ourselves for a life that's got a lot of unknowns, I'm going to remind you of four things that we know well. Four things that we need to devote ourselves to. And that's what I have up on the screen. Look at what the people in the early church did. They weren't in a position to worry about the laws of the city, the laws of the state, about making sure that we build a building properly. Oh, I'm not saying we should ever ignore that, but they met in homes. There were just small groups of them. They always feared having officials bust in, break up the group, and throw them all in jail. And yet, look at what they did. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. In all circumstances in life, if you do this, this is where we're going to see just what God really wants us to do. Let's remind ourselves what those are. Devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, and you might be wondering, why does it say the apostles' teaching and not Christ's teaching? Well, in essence, it's the same thing. Christ, if you wonder, why did Christ choose apostles, especially if one was going to betray him, another was going to deny he even knew who the Savior was 3 times, and the Lord had to restore him 3 times. A third one, the James of Peter, James, and John, was killed before he really had much of a chance to do anything for the faith. We don't know what's going to happen, but we do know that as Jesus chose his apostles, he chose them so that they could continue the work after Jesus ascended into heaven. They could continue the work of sharing what they had learned from Jesus, the truth to the next generation. Guess what? We need you to do and be the same thing. As you continue to devote yourselves to all the things you've learned, and I'll tell you, we've learned some good stuff this year. You guys, in the midst of a change for curriculum, have gotten your hearts and your faith opened up in a way that connects us to the 21st century that none of the previous classes, even last year's class, never had a chance to see. It's a wonderful thing. But you devote yourself to that. It might mean that someday you're going to, whether you're a public Sunday school teacher, a some sort of a school teacher, or just a person who has the love of Christ in her heart or in his heart, and people notice it. And whatever it is that she's got or he's got, they want, because that's wonderful. And then to what's called the fellowship. There's a word in another language that describes it. It's called koinonia. And, okay, we're having a fellowship next week. The senior youth are going to be hosting it, I think, right? But, and it's nice that we gather together for fellowship, but that's not what fellowship is. You know, as you guys are sitting here, there's a lot of people here, and while some of them are your family and your guests and so forth, many of them are members of this church. And as you become a full member of this church, you start getting yourself connected to every one of them. We talked a little bit a few minutes ago about the people that are in the hospital or recuperating or whatever that we need to pray for, and we do pray for them. One of them you might even know well. But we connect ourselves to every one of them. Fellowship means that we are connected in a way that cannot be broken with God's people here like this, but more importantly, with Jesus Christ like this. That's what fellowship is. We are connected and working interpersonally, both with our Lord and with the people around us. We devote ourselves to that because there's a lot of things that God asks us to do, but he rarely asks us to do them alone. And even for those things when we're alone, when we know he's with us, there are those things for which we will have the chance to work with God's people here. And you're going to find, if you haven't already, what a wonderful group they are. And then to the breaking of bread. I could ask a really stupid question. How many of you, Autumn and Will and Brandon, how many of you have got a big meal planned just as soon as we're done here? Do you? Two of you are nodding your head yes. The third one's looking and saying, I don't know. Okay, I think we do. And look, there's two reasons for that. Number one, time church gets out here, I have a hunch everybody sitting here amongst these families is going to be hungry. But we hunger for a lot of things. And the breaking of bread doesn't just refer to the Lord's Supper. Oh, you'll be receiving that for the first time next week, but for the rest of your life. But you're also going to be sharing in something extra special, because one of the first things we're going to be doing in heaven is we're going to be sharing table with a new and special way with our Savior. He's told us that's what's going to happen. I don't claim to fully understand it yet, but I do know that's what we get to do. The breaking of bread, where we literally get to join ourselves together as a giant family. They had a meal that they served after the Lord's Supper was done in the early church. It was called an agape meal. Agape means an unconditional love, the kind of love Christ had for us when he gave up his life on the cross. And they shared it with loving hearts with each other. And eating with somebody else meant something back then. There would be scripture passages would say, with such people, and it's talking about people that are actively being enemies to the word of God, do not even eat. So the breaking of bread together is a way of saying we are in this with our Lord and Savior together. Finally, the prayers. Now, I talked about a prayer walk for a couple weeks from now, but let's be clear. We've spent our entire life in prayers. I've had the chance through the years to meet a number of people, and I'm sorry to say that these are people, some of whom were actually diagnosed with Alzheimer's, some of whom it wasn't necessarily diagnosed that, but it was some sort of a nasty, awful form of dementia, in which literally the family's loved one was being taken from them piece by piece, to the point where the family still went to see the person, but the person didn't even know who they were. And yet, for those who had not lost also the faculty to do things like speak, when I would start sharing the Lord's Prayer with them, they'd start saying it with me. You see, it isn't even just what it is that we do. Well, we've asked you to memorize some things. We never did it just to try to add to people's workload. But if the Lord's Prayer can survive something that even family, the wonderful gift of family that God has given us, does not survive, just think how important that is. That is something that you can take with you, that when you need a time of prayer and you don't know what it is, it doesn't just say prayer. It says the prayers, which refers then to groups of prayers. I mean, the last thing Jesus did before he went out to the Garden of Gethsemane, he and his disciples sung a hymn, Psalms 114, 15, 16, 17, and 18. I don't know what the tune was. I don't want to try to sing it, but that was also a prayer for them. They had a lot of prayers back then, and we have a lot of prayers today, and we'll be spending some time in prayer a little bit later on. My friends, we devote ourselves to those things because that's where the important part of our lives are going to be. I want to be realistic. I want all of us to be realistic. It'd be nice to be able to say, oh yeah, I'm going to devote myself to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread and prayers, and whatever else I'm supposed to do after I leave here. I'm looking forward to a life of faithfulness with the Lord God. Well, you're looking at someone who has made a lot of mistakes in life. There are times I felt the Lord was closer to me and times where I didn't. I have had to watch people, including one that is my father's age, where the very man who baptized me, my dad showed me a letter from that pastor's son, where the son said, you know, I never met the God that my dad preached about. Now, gratefully, I haven't had to hear that from my own children, but opposition to Jesus is out there. And you're going to have your times where it's like, you know, there's so much going on. How much does the Lord really care? And if it doesn't look like he's caring, am I supposed to care? Well, he really does care. Because there aren't going to be, in a lot of places in life, a lot of other people that are going to be reliable. I hope you find some really good friends that are there in good times and in bad. I hope that you have a family that's going to sustain you through all these times of life, in the good times and in the bad. But whether you do or not, the Lord is going to be there for you guys, with you guys, and helping you along. So that whatever we've learned, whatever we now devote ourselves to, Christ is going to stay with you. He's looking out for you, all right? Look out now and see what he has in store for you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Which brings us to that special moment, a moment that we've waited for, and a moment that, again, I have some parents, I have a hunch, can't believe that this time has actually arrived. But friends, for God's people, you are going to need either your service folder or the responses for the Confession of Faith, which we'll get to shortly, will be up on the screen. But I'm going to ask now for the three who are going to be becoming a part of the membership of Faith Lutheran Church. I'd like to ask you to please stand. Friends in Christ, the members of our congregation, rejoice with thankful hearts that you are to become a part of our Christian fellowship. Through baptism, you have been brought to the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now you have been taught the faith according to our Lord's bidding, and the fulfillment of his bidding we now celebrate together, rejoicing that we openly and publicly confess the faith before him, which he himself placed into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Our Lord Jesus Christ said to his apostles, "Everyone who confesses and acknowledges me before others, I will also confess and acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny before my Father in heaven." And so that we may rejoice together in this confession, I am now going to ask each of you in the presence of God and of this congregation. Do you this day, in the presence of God and his church, acknowledge the gifts which God gives you in holy baptism If so, answer together, I do. Do you hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the true and inspired word of God? If so, answer, I do. Do you accept and confess that the teachings of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, drawn from the scriptures as you have learned to know them from the small catechism, are faithful and true to the word of God? If so, answer, I do. As a member of this church, do you intend faithfully to conform all your life to the divine word, and in faith, word, and action to continue steadfast in this confession of our one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, suffering all, even death, rather than falling away from it? If so, answer, I will with the help of God. Do you intend to continue regularly and faithfully hearing the word of God, receiving the Lord's Supper in his church, supporting the work our gracious Lord has given this congregation with your prayers, your time, your talents, your treasures, and your Christian testimony? If so, answer, I will with the help of God. As you have declared your faith, I now am going to ask you to confess it. And since the confession of faith is something that we must all be prepared to do at every point in our lives, let us all gather here this morning, join those who have come before God in confessing our Christian faith. It is the shared confession of our Christian faith. So in holy baptism, our sins are forgiven, and we are granted a new life in Christ our Lord. So I ask you, as reaffirmation of what God has done for you in your baptism, do you this day, in the presence of God and of this congregation, acknowledge the gifts that God has given you in and through your baptism? Yes. Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? I do renounce them. Do you believe in God the Father Almighty? Yes, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son? Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Yes, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. This is just for our confirmands. Is it your earnest intention to continue steadfast in this faith? And then the promise of your baptism as a member of the church, to be diligent in the use of the means of grace and of prayer, and to be devoted to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. If so, answer yes with the help of God. May Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. And as you have now spoken before God in his church, I'm now going to be asking each of you one by one to come forward and kneel, give me your hand as pledge of your promise, and receive a special blessing. Until that time comes, I'm going to ask that you be seated. And I'd like to ask our person who has been our special assistant through all of this, Sandy Thompson, to come on up and help pass out some of the special things that we have for you guys. Brandon Alexander Malcolm. Brandon, may Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, give you the spirit of wisdom and knowledge, of grace and of prayer, of power and the fear of God, as he strengthens you with his grace to life everlasting. His peace be with you. The special Bible verse that has been chosen for you, Brandon, is 2 Peter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace is yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus, our Lord. Receive this special plaque as a special gift with the tidings of God's precious word, which you have just heard. May this verse be the words by which you live the rest of your life, living in our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. Congratulations. William Austin Morrison. Well, may Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Holy Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, give you the spirit of wisdom and knowledge, of grace and prayer, of power and the fear of God, as he strengthens you with his grace to life everlasting. His peace be with you. Will your verses, Psalm 16, verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Receive this plaque as a special gift with the tidings of God's precious word, which you have just heard. May this special verse be the words by which you live the rest of your life, living in our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. Autumn Marie Verheyen. Autumn, the Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, has given you the new birth of water and the Holy Spirit and has forgiven you all your sins. Give you the spirit of wisdom and knowledge, of grace and prayer, of power and the fear of God as he strengthens you with his grace to life everlasting. His peace be with you. Amen. Autumn, your Bible verse is Psalm 71, verse 17. Since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day, I declare your marvelous deeds. Receive this plaque as a special gift with the tidings of God's precious word, which you have just heard. May this special verse be the words by which you live the rest of your life, living in our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. Brendan, William, Autumn. Upon this your profession and promise, I, as the minister of the word and sacrament for this congregation, and in the name of our Lord and Faith Lutheran Church, welcome and acknowledge each of you as communicant members now of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and Faith Lutheran Church of Newport Richey, Florida, of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I invite you to receive the Lord's Supper, to participate in all the other blessings of salvation which God has given to his church, and to live them out continually in his worship and service, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends, we bow our heads in a word of prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your great goodness in bringing these, your sons and daughters, to the knowledge of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you that you've enabled them both with the heart to believe and with the mouth to confess his saving name. Grant that they may spend their lives bringing forth the fruits of faith, that they may continue steadfast and victorious to the day when all who have fought the good fight of faith shall receive the crown of righteousness. Dear Lord, since you have united your children in the suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, may we always be willing to love you, to love our neighbors as ourselves, to bear our crosses with patience and joy until the day of the resurrection to life immortal. Through Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. And so then, we conclude with the congregational response for our new members. And this is for all of God's people. So, I guess where you are, I guess you just stay where you are, confirmants. But for everybody else, through baptism, God has added each of these new people to his people to declare the wonderful deeds of our Savior, who has called us out of darkness into his own marvelous light. So I now ask you, as members of this church, do you receive these people as your very own? Promise to uplift them, pray for them, and work with them, building God's kingdom here at Faith Lutheran Church together. We speak together. As members of the Lord's family, we welcome you into the family of faith here. We receive you as fellow members of the body of Christ, God's own people to work with us here in his kingdom. And go now in the peace of the Lord. Be steadfast, unmoving, remembering that your work in the Lord is never in vain. And may the Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless you and keep you all these days here in our midst. Let us pray for the people of God's pasture and sheep of his hand and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, receive our humble and unending thanks that Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, was willing to sacrifice himself for us so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Although we are sheep who wander, you continually bring us back as your shepherd. So be with us. When it is given to us to suffer for your name's sake, grant that we might follow in the steps and hear the voice of our shepherd and find the door that brings us to peace. May we always act in love and entrust ourselves to you. Strengthen those who must endure persecution for the name of Jesus. Thwart the plans of any who would oppose the gospel. And grant to them repentance that they too might be able to live in Christ and eternally with him. O Lord, our good shepherd. O Lord, our creator and redeemer. The culmination of all beauty is found in your Son. So bless all artists and all who are in the creative arts, that in the midst of a world tainted by sin, their labors might remind us of the beauty with which you have endowed our creation and our redemption. O Lord, our good shepherd, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, in the wake of your Son's resurrection, your people devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. Unite your people in the one true faith and grant us penitent hearts that we may indeed devote ourselves, casting aside all things unnecessary and remain devoted to you and to the important things that you have given to us. O Lord, our good shepherd, hear our prayer. King of the nations, with your favor, behold the president, the Congress, our courts, and all others in authority at the national, state, county, and local levels, and so replenish them with your grace that they may always incline to your will and walk in your ways. Prosper all good counsels and just works, that peace and contentment, truth and righteousness, genuine faith and piety may be established among us. O Lord, our good shepherd, hear our prayer. Almighty God, by the work of your Holy Spirit through the means of grace, you daily added to the number of believers those who were being saved. Grant your people courageous hearts, bold tongues to proclaim your truth, trusting that you will gather more in keeping with your gracious will. O Lord, our good shepherd, hear our prayer. O Lord, you worked many miracles through the hands of the apostles in the name of Jesus. Hear the prayers on behalf of all who cry to you. We pray for Adele Burke, Billy Bose, Jerry Brock, our confirmation students for this morning, and now someone that we lift up before you, that is in need of the grace, mercy, and love that only you can give in a moment of silence. Provide them help according to your will. Within our vocations, grant that we might help those in need with glad and generous hearts. Grant that we might fear no evil until we are gathered before your throne. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, who has taught us to pray together, our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our service concludes in the middle of page 9, the closing prayer and benediction. We pray this prayer together. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, you have called us into the work of your vineyard and lavished upon us your grace and all manner of spiritual and eternal gifts. Help us to live unto you in humility and patience, to hope in your pure grace and faithfulness, to abide in your house, and to praise and magnify your glorious grace forever, through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. We have got a couple of people on behalf of our senior youth now, before we go to our final hymn, that would like to send some greetings on behalf of our new confirmation class.
Good morning, everyone, and to Brandon and Will and Autumn. I personally first want to congratulate you three. When I started teaching Sunday school myself several years ago, I had the distinct pleasure of teaching these three amazing, I want to say kids, but they're not. You guys are young adults at this point. You are all so bright, energetic, and full of Christ's love. You may not know this, but you all renewed my own faith with your light and your love. And as I sat through your speeches during your I Believe night on Friday, And as I stand here today with you, please know that even though you've already accomplished so much, this is only the beginning. You are all well on your way to spreading God's love and changing this church, those around you, for the better. But today I'm also here for another reason, too. On behalf of the CIA, which is the high school group here at our church, we want to say welcome home. As Roseanne said Friday night, although it may feel like it, today is not graduation. It's your reconfirmation of your faith, and that this is the next step in your journey. And please know that this is indeed a journey. It is a walk with Christ that will change and evolve over time in ways that may even surprise you. As Brandon spoke about his grandfather and his health and his faith, it reminds us of how much our family can provide a pillar of support even in our darkest times. Now, while we cannot promise that this journey will always be easy, and we might fight like brothers or sisters, you will always have a place here amongst family, and even as some of you are coming in as brothers and sisters to our group, you are all loved and welcomed here, as we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. As Autumn spoke of her travels to the Holy Land and how seeing differing people from other places renewed her own spirit and her faith, we want you to know that your travels have only just begun. Your walk with Christ will take you through many lands and into the lives of many different people. Our next big event, we'll be traveling to Minneapolis, Minnesota for the 2019 National Youth Gathering. We'll be amongst thousands of other high school youth groups just like ours to share in their love and faith. So long as you keep your heart open and you walk with the light of Christ, there is no telling what amazing things await you. And finally, as Will spoke of his passion for service for Christ, it's my joy to tell you of the endless possibilities you have before you. As Ms. Sharon Rubio noted, your service is never done, it simply evolves. And that's the amazing thing about this group. You now have the opportunity to expand your own reach within the church and your love for this congregation. You are indeed the future of this church and the faith, and it is in your hands now for you to handle this privilege and responsibility. You can now usher, as you've seen Austin. You can acolyte, as we see Joe doing. You can even read, as I did today. Do you want to make a change or a difference in the church? Are there things that you want to do differently or things you want to do differently? You have that opportunity. You can join boards, as you've seen Roseanne. We have a MOCA committee. There's so many possibilities for you guys to serve in this church. And with the love and support of your family, not only your blood, who you have here, not only with us in CIA as brothers and sisters, but as everyone here in this congregation and throughout your lives, you have the power to make such a difference and to make this church a better place for all those who are coming after you. So welcome to the next step in your journey. Welcome to the CIA, where all of your possibilities are endless. Support is only a text or a Snapchat away. The learning never ends, but we do it on some comfy couches. And our fridge is usually stocked with some pretty good food. We cannot wait to walk with you on this journey and to grow in the love of Christ together. Congratulations to you all, and we'll see you next Sunday.
Our final hymn is Go My Children with My Blessing. Confirmation students, we will be processing out during the final verse, during verse 4. And the students will be forming a receiving line in the back at the end of the service for each of you to greet them. Thank you for being a part of our service.